Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds podcast. I'm super blessed, excited, and grateful to welcome Doug Evans to the show, man. Welcome to be here, brother.
Hey, my pleasure. I'm happy to be here. And it was great, you know, seeing you twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah, man, I'm really grateful for, I was just sharing, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, the way that you contributed, showed up at UPW. It's really amazing to see somebody so devoted to their purpose, devoted to their experience of life and really contributing their energy. You know, I believe in human action is the fundamental responsibility that we all have. And this choice that you've made comes from a young age. So before we get into all of that, I'm excited to learn and highlight kind of your experience. But, you know, I just want to highlight a little bit about, you know, this way of this specificity about you. So everybody is a little bit more aware. So for those that don't know, Doug, you know, is a serial health food entrepreneur who began sprouting, you know, and we'll get a little bit more into what that means over 25 years ago, and has been advocating and educating on the benefits of sprouts and sprouting across all different platforms, you know, and spending time, you know, devoting his energy online and his social presence. And, you know, this is how I got to really get to know him, is at UPW, you know, listening and observing his energy, spending time communicating it and choosing to do it with a place of a presence of being on a platform alongside my teacher, Tony. So I'm excited to kind of highlight why this is super meaningful to you. And before we go into that, can you give from your perspective, you know, what is sprouting, first of all?
Sure.
And why is this important to you?
So sprouting is something that is not new. So it's been around literally since the beginning of plant life on the planet. And basically, a sprout is a seed that germinates. And a seed is a complete living organism in a dormant state. And when I wrote the sprout book, I researched that there are seeds that are 1,200 years old that will still germinate and sprout. And so I looked at seeds and sprouts over the last 30 years as a superfood, as something nutritious, but I never took them seriously. I just never took them seriously. And there had never been a major platform behind sprouts. So there are no national or international sprouting companies. In Asia, sprouts are ubiquitous in Korea, in Japan, in China. But in those cultures, there aren't big companies that are selling them. It's all like local. People get the seeds, they sprout them on their own. They prepare food with them, restaurants sprout, and they have them. So in America and in Canada, sprouts are really relegated to Asian cultures or to hippies. And I didn't grow up in a hippie family. Like, I grew up as a New York City juvenile delinquent street kid. And so I was sleeping on the subways as early as age 13. And so my world was just eating processed food, refined food, meat, dairy, animal products. I ate anything. And then what kind of brought me to my come to sprout moment was really when I was 33, when my entire close family was plagued with serious mortal conditions that I was able to pinpoint not to genetics, but to their lifestyle. That literally they ate themselves into heart disease. They ate themselves into diabetes. They ate themselves into cancer. And when I looked at how they treat cancer and how they treat heart disease and how they treat diabetes, they were treating it with drugs, with radiation, with chemotherapy. And none of which were the cause of these diseases. These diseases were a result of deficiency, depletion, deprivation of phytonutrients and macronutrients that were balanced. And as a result, you know, the diabetes forms when insulin resistance takes over, the heart disease forms when the arteries get clogged, the cancer forms for any number of reasons, some of which are genetic, but the majority are through lifestyle. The most obvious one is smoking, right? People know like there is a connection between smoking and lung cancer, but people don't make the connection between, you know, food and prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, breast cancer. So these connections aren't made. When I made the connection, it was a light bulb went off in my head. And I realized that I needed to take some action, right? Do something differently. And then I met someone who was a proponent. And as I sat through Unleash the Power Within, the description and the alignment, you know, of what to eat, what not to eat, and green and alkaline forming, it was very aligned with me. And so I made what would seem to be to other people an extreme shift of diet. But for me, it was logical. And so I started to eat a lot of fruits and I started to eat a lot of vegetables and I started to eat sea vegetables. And I was concerned where I was going to get more of these when I moved to an environmental desert that had no access to the normal healthy options that I experienced. And then that's how I discovered sprouting for myself. So sprouting had been around. I had known about sprouting, but you know, what if I told you, Eric, that sprouts were the most nutrient-dense food group on the planet that you can grow at home in days without soil, sunshine, or fertilizer, right? And actually get large amounts of sprouts, exponential growth of the sprouts in just like one cubic foot of space. So it seemed too good to be true, but you know, now I wrote this, you know, this book, the Sprout Book, and the Sprout Book, you know, became a wild success. You know, tens of thousands of copies in print, you know, became the number one best-selling vegetarian book on Amazon. So out of like hundreds of thousands of vegetarian books, but millions of overall books, the Sprout Book got into the top 69 of all books on Amazon. And
amazing.
I think it, in part, it was manifestation, you know, that like I wanted this to happen. But I think the most meaningful reason why is because people were hungry for solutions. And there's a lot of people that are suffering. You know, we have over 250, 260 million people in America that are overweight or obese. We have 100 million people that are diabetic or pre-diabetic. We have tens of millions of people with cancer. And so this was something that was alarming to me. And so we have the most money going into healthcare and we have the most people sick. And I really think it's a food thing. And so to me, it's not a matter of, you know, whether it has a certain preservative in it or a certain food dye or a certain chemical. I want to go back to nature and consume things that were fresh, that were alive, that had concentrated natural levels of micronutrients, phytonutrients, polyphenols, bioflavonoids, antioxidants. And those are sprouts. Mm-hmm. So when I went deep, you know, down the rabbit hole for sprouts, it became evident to me that sprouts were vegetables. And vegetables are food. Vegetables are food. So that's an amazing thing. Hey, I can eat vegetables and vegetables are good for you. So period, end of story. There are billions of people around the world who eat exclusively vegetables. And so that was a data point that you're not going to die if you're eating vegetables. And you know, more vegetables you eat, the more calories you get, the more nutrients you get. What was impressive to me was that the sprouts being vegetables had 20 to 100 times the phytonutrient density of the mature vegetables. So actually you can eat less of them and get more of this powerhouse of nutrients. And so it was such an interesting shift where lentils, for example, are a staple of the plant-based diet around the world. People love lentils, right? But most lentils are cooked. So when you sprout a lentil, what's the difference? Well, number one, when you sprout the lentil, you increase the vitamin C level by 300%. Because when you cook the lentil, there's no vitamin C. Mm-hmm. So it's like, whoa, you're getting this vitamin C. Number two, you're quadrupling the antioxidant levels because the antioxidants get, you know, destroyed with the heat. And then you're taking this and through a metabolic process, the enzymatic activity is causing this lentil to sprout and germinate. So it's actually enzymatically active, electrically alive, and it's growing. So when you're consuming the lentil, you're actually eating the entire living organism, the root, the shoot, the embryo, the testa. And when you're consuming that, you're getting something that's very bioavailable. And for the people that are concerned with lectins and phytic acid, when you sprout them, you reduce the lectins, you reduce the phytic acid, you remove the enzyme inhibitors, because that's the sheer process of the metamorphosis that is occurring during the sprouting and germination process.
Wow, brother, it's fascinating how when you're really willing to go deep into any type of topic, we start to discover the patterns of what's possible in terms of nature and also ourselves. So you talked about, you know, this emphasis of you know, these seeds, you know, being able to grow with photosynthesis. And I believe that this is a huge component of also us as human beings, is as we grow. And so what we put into our bodies is also going to emphasize the importance of how we choose to actually grow ourselves. So it's interesting. We have to always pay attention to what's going on around us. And fundamentally, these old paradigms of how, you know, much dis-ease has been cultivated in terms of our societal construct, not just in the United States, but also on a global level. Now, as we start to recognize an even more responsible role as leaders into creating this type of regenerative attitude or regeneration within ourselves, taking more responsibility for our health and our wellness, and also holding accountability to those that are out there creating the food as we grow, because our next generations really would like, I believe, for us to create these types of experiences so they can live longer, healthier, fuller lives. So what do you think and why has this been such an like creating so much dis-ease within the United States and on a global standard as well, in terms of our, you know, this health epidemic, you know, that people may be either unaware of or uncertain of or wanting to discover more about themselves? Is there any insight that you have, or at least from your experience?
I mean, my insight is basically, I don't think that the food companies, you know, and the drug companies are trying to kill us. Like, I just think they're trying to profit from us, and that we live in a convenience culture and we live in a distracted culture. And so when people aren't present and they're easily distracted, then they go for the path of least resistance. So, like, that's just, you know, the sheer fact. And so when you look at, you know, there was a recent statement that came out from Kellogg's that says all of our ingredients, you know, comply with all government standards, et cetera. You know, so they weren't saying, hey, all of our ingredients are the healthiest for humanity. They're saying, hey, we're not breaking any laws by doing what we're doing. So it really is incumbent upon people to take control of their health and their decisions, because we have agency. So it's easy to sit back and be a victim and say, oh, well, I didn't know. Well, you know, as Biggie Small said, if you don't know, now you know. Like, the only person that is going to be responsible for your health is you, right? Is you. That's who's going to be responsible. And then what happens is when you try to do research, like, it's a whole other area where N percent, right? I don't know if the exact number today, it's a dynamic number, of research is funded with conflict of interest. So you have, you know, sugar companies, you know, candy bar companies, soda companies paying major universities to do research to try to basically say, oh, you know, this is safe, this isn't the cause of disease, et cetera. So it's such a slippery slope, you know, to get to the point. So for me, like, I know, because I'm 58 years old and I've been eating plants exclusively for 25 years, I'm alive, right? Like, I'm alive, I've got energy, I've got fitness, like, I've got mental clarity, right? So I know that it can work. And a lot of people, you know, didn't have the luxury or the penalty, right? So I thought I was penalized because everyone died in my family, right? But I also had the luxury of being super frugal and saving all of my dollars so that I could do the research and I could be independent. And as you heard, I didn't grow up with hippie parents feeding me sprouts, right? I grew up living in the streets of New York, eating fast food, sleeping on subway trains, right? From age 13 onward. So I didn't come to this world, and I'm still not a hippie, right? My energy, you know, you put me around a room of hippies and I'm too intense for them, you know, candidly, like, I'm not one of them, right? Because they want to sit and watch, you know, the grass grow, right? And that's not me. Like, I'm driven on a purpose. Just so happens I'm applying this energy and this purpose towards speaking for plants and sprouts that don't have a voice. So, long way of saying that sprouts have never had a voice because there's never been money behind them. And if you look at eating alfalfa sprouts, how many ingredients are in alfalfa sprouts?
I personally don't know.
One, alfalfa seeds, right? Okay. And how many ingredients are in broccoli sprouts? One, right?
Yeah.
You know, the average, you know, I'll do a quick search here because I don't know the answer and I'm very curious. 1 second.
Please. What?
The average number of ingredients in a packaged food item at a supermarket in North America. So What do you think, Eric?
I'm going to say 25.
I would say that big ag and big food has got into the internet because it won't even give you an answer.
Wow.
But I'll see if I can do it for, let's just say, for cereals.
Maybe ChatGPT will do it.
I'm in ChatGPT.
Oh, interesting.
So it's giving me two responses. Yeah, they really don't want to. Okay, so those aimed at children will contain 20 ingredients. 20 ingredients. So it's just crazy. So for me, as soon as something's in a box, as soon as it's cooked, right, and I can't discern with my eyes what it is, like my spidey sense tingles and says it's dubious. So I want to eat things that I know what they are. And if you think about, like, lettuce is good. Like, I love lettuce. Average leaf of lettuce has traveled 2,000 miles till it gets to a grocery store. 2,000 miles. So, you know, if you're in Alberta, like, I don't know where the greens are growing from. Are they coming from Salinas Valley in California? Where does Canada, you know, get its lettuces?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I imagine it's coming down from the south, from you guys, or even further south. You know, in the summertime, my grandma, she grows, we have a garden, my mother and my grandmother. We have an outdoor garden. When I was living, you know, in Brazil or Mexico or Ecuador or even Spain, we had an outdoor regenerative garden, and we would like plant everything. Well, I personally wasn't planting myself, but we would have people helping us plant and really doing everything. And I think that this is where sustainable community and development, you know, you mentioned, you know, these ingredients and really being able to start taking more care of our health. Now, do you see a transition maybe happening where, you know, communities are taking more of that agency and that autonomy, and maybe, you know, we can even beg to say sovereignty into their own choice of how they choose to operate versus willingness or decision to count on the government or these businesses that are not taking responsibility. So as a result, communities starting to come together, you know, like Tony Robbins' community or like, you know, Joe Dispenza's community, to like now start to create agency on the planet so that we start to really light it up in terms of taking care of the planet and build an infrastructure alongside each other so that we can create more agency for one another. Do you see that happening, or that transitioning coming to life, that energy transition happening, or what are your thoughts here?
I mean, I do in bits and pieces, but fundamentally, when it comes to health, right? Health is a good stress, right? For someone to take a run, for them to go to the gym, for them to do a cold plunge, for them to eat healthy, is counterintuitive to the way that our brains are programmed, right? It's not fun to go for a run. It's not fun to eat your veggies. It's not fun to, you know, take a cold plunge. So what happens is we're in a stage where there's so much chaos going on that people end up using food to medicate, right? True. So they're self-medicating with food, and the food companies take advantage of that to no end, right? They know that the combination of fat, sugar, and salt, and seasonings and preservatives and color make it attractive. And then it goes even further with texture. Like if you have a cheese puff or Doritos, like they're salty and crispy and crunchy, you know, and that they're fat and their oils and their carbs, that it's really pleasurable to eat those foods. Mm-hmm. It really is pleasurable. So it's only for someone to make a decision that they're going to eat healthy, right? They're going to make a decision to raise their standards. And of course, there are some people doing it. Unfortunately, the people that are doing it are generally doing it after they have a scare, right? After they have a heart attack, they have a stroke, you know, they go into a diabetic coma, you know, they're about to lose a limb, you know, they're morbidly obese, you know, and they fall down, you know, only then are people even semi-conscious to make a change. And they go to the doctor, and instead of the doctor giving them a curriculum of, you know, eating water-based, fresh fruits and vegetables, like the doctor has no time, and the doctor's goal is to get them to homeostasis. And so they've been trained, oh, look at the condition. What drugs can I prescribe? So that way they feel like they're doing something. And that's where, for me, patient, heal thyself. And obviously the doctors know a lot about a lot of things, but unless you spend a day with a functional medicine doctor or a naturopathic doctor, and you express to them, hey, wait a second, what can I do to be healthy? Because the drugs do not cure. The yes. drugs treat the symptoms. So what can I do? I want to be healthy. What can I do? Well, get a good night's sleep, get some exercise, drink a lot of water, you know, eat your veggies, etc. But they're not going into a level of depth of trying to understand an individual's life, what fits in, you know, the whole thing, because every person is different. Right. And as soon as someone has any sort of other, you know, complex health condition, then it makes it even more difficult. So the general thing is there's almost a standard protocol of care, which involves the prescription of a drug. And once you go down that path, it's really hard to get off. So someone has to, like, I hope anyone who's listening to this, Eric, is open to the fact to knowing that there are alternatives and there are choices that one can make. You know, if they want to become, forget about being unleashed, forget about being alive where, you know, last year I did 100,000 push-ups, you know, and I'm running every day, right? So aside from that, like people just needing to move, like needing to raise their standards. So I'm not telling everyone, hey, just go on a sprout diet, just eat sprouts. I'm saying, be aware of everything that you're eating, look for things that are fresh, and sprouts, you can add sprouts to your diet because they grow in days in Canada, in America, in most parts of the world, in the International Space Station, without soil, without sunshine, without fertilizer, and they're growing in days in small amounts of space. And so by simply adding sprouts to your diet, you can increase the quality of your nutrition, boost the nutrition by hundreds of percentages, maybe even 1,000%.
What are your thoughts on this vertical farming age now where people are able to grow throughout the seasons a lot of different ingredients? Is this something that is beneficial to our society, or do you think it's detrimental, you know, being able, because I know I've heard, you know, a couple of my colleagues or people that I know well sharing that, you know, it's probably not sustainable to either go into, you know, some of these other you know, have blueberries whenever, for example, across the planet. Or what are your thoughts here? I'm just curious to get your insight as well in terms of vertical farming in the future.
Well, look, I think vertical farming is very interesting. I love soil, right? Mm-hmm. I love sprouts because you can grow them without soil and without fertilizer. And the seeds have been grown in soil, right? So the seeds have the minerals in them. So a lot of the vertical options, a hell of a lot better than having a packaged food or cereal or the like. Growing fruit indoors vertically is much more complex than growing vegetables. Like vegetables really want to grow, they want to blossom, and they can grow. So I think the ubiquity of these items, it makes more sense to grow them locally than having them being transported, you know, thousands of miles or kilometers to get to the place. Ultimately, what makes sprouting such a, to me, even a better alternative than the vertical farming is that everyone can have their own countertop garden, and that the sprouts are grown in glass, right, with a stainless steel filter. So those are the cleanest things that you can do. And because they're grown so quickly in the glass and in the stainless steel, you don't need fertilizer, you don't need pesticides, that they just grow and it's easy. You know, as soon as you start to get to vertical growing and you've got pumps and motors and exactly, tubes and water supplies, you know, it becomes a bigger issue. So I really like the distributed peer-to-peer growing than the concentration.
I like this. So going back to sprouting with regards to, it's very kind of decentralized, let's call it.
Yes.
Meaning, are you suggesting, do you find that when we're sprouting or with a focus of sprout, how can this be a more normal diet approach to really giving us all the, like you said, all the nutrients that we need? Or is it kind of like a garnish? Because some people, you know, I know they'll look at alfalfas, for example, like we talked about earlier, and say, hey, this is just a garnish. It's not going to fill me up. You know, what would you say to somebody that is maybe creating that story in their mind? You know, what else is possible with sprouting?
Yeah. So for one, I look at sprouts as vegetables, right? Yep. And as super nutritious vegetables. I use sprouts not as a garnish, but I use sprouts as the center of the plate. So I literally putting sprouts into the center of the plate. So my salads are made with sprouts, which are like nutrition through the roof. And then, you know, and I just posted, you can look on my Instagram, Doug Evans, I did a sprouted lasagna, right? Nice. Where I used layers of sprouts, you know, sandwiched in between, you know, fresh tomato sauce and fresh homemade cheese, you know, made with almonds. So the idea of using sprouts as an alternative to pasta is really powerful. Like imagine you have a big bowl of sprouts and you add like your bolognese sauce on or your marinara sauce on it, and you get all the flavor, but you're getting a texture instead of getting something that's empty calories that's going to spike your glycemic index. You're actually chewing and getting phytonutrient, fiber-filled, fresh foods. And so the idea that sprouts are food, they are vegetables, they can become the salad, they can become the wrap, they can become the entree. And obviously you can throw them into a smoothie, you can do so many things with them. So that's why when we created the sprouting company, we made our jar twice the size of an average jar, because I wanted people to have an abundance of sprouts, because it takes no more effort to grow twice as many sprouts in a larger vessel than in a small one.
Hmm. You bring up fiber and phytonutrients, and what does that do in terms of emphasizing a clear capacity to our internal system? As humans, how does that affect us positively? And what does it do for us to create more energy, move better, create more opportunities? And then that obviously will show up in our external world in the way that we choose to operate. But like, how does that internally, if you don't mind, I'd love to get curious about that, because, you know, from my perspective, I always think of phytonutrients as like, hey, you know, this is what you get from the sun. Of course, this is, you know, probably something different, you know, that you're referring to. So,
yeah, I mean, I think what I'm getting at is the fact that you can actually have this agency and you can choose to eat foods that you grow, you know where they came from, that are nutrient dense and complete. So there's a myth that where do you get your protein from? And that we have a protein deficiency in the country. And in fact, we have a fiber deficiency. Many, many more people are fiber deficient than they are protein deficient. So it's such a shift, like the, you know, I don't know if this is some conspiracy or what have you, but no one's talking about it. Like right. No one's really talking about it. They're talking about, so interesting, I could go anywhere. And people will say, well, you eat sprouts, where do you get your protein from? And, you know, what I ask them is like, hey, bro, where did you get that question from? Like, are you studying nutrition now? Like, are you a nutritional biochemist? Are you a dietitian? Like, why are you, bro, like asking about protein? Like, who told you to ask that question? Right? You don't see an animal in nature looking at a label, right? They're eating intuitively, right? So the question of where you get your protein from versus the true thing is that people are fiber deficient, right? And they're getting prostate and colon cancer, not because they're eating too much fiber, right? That's not why they're getting, you know, colon cancer and prostate cancer, right? So this is a deep thing. And, you know, slowly I'm going to reveal more and more of this information. Right now, what I'm sharing with people is like, add sprouts to your life. Figure out a way to add sprouts to your life, and you will have more fiber, more phytonutrients, higher quality movements. You'll have a great prebiotic that will go into your gut microbiome, and you'll have energy. It's very easy to digest sprouts. Very easy.
You know what I love? I eat a lot of kabocha squash because I love on the external, the kabocha, they have that green lining with it. It creates that profound fiber. When I was bodybuilding back in the day, like my coach at that time, he would say, hey, Eric, eat as much of this squash as you can. The fiber is going to be so good for you. So I love that you bring up the importance of fiber, because this allows us, at least for me, this was something that was really important in terms of bringing a lot of energy to my workouts. My nephew just came to say hello.
Really?
Speak of the next generation. So fundamentally, I think that this is something that's really beautiful. You know, we're talking about sprouts, we're talking about, you know, moving forward, and we're talking about changing our internal system. How do you feel that our next generation is curious to understand more about wanting to be in a place of more health and wellness? What are your insights?
Well, I mean, I think what's going to happen is younger generation is very open to new information. Like, I'll show you videos and pictures of my daughter, you know, grabbing the sprouts first, grabbing vegetables, et cetera. And I think that the consequences of, you know, childhood obesity, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, type 3 diabetes, Alzheimer's, heart attacks and strokes are going to lead people down a path. Because everybody knows someone who, you know, has some sort of chronic condition where they've been, you know, sickened by their lifestyle. And now with the decentralization of information distribution, now someone, you know, can ask more questions, and they're going to look around and say, okay, you know, are people that are and I'm not talking about eating Oreos and Pepsi Cola plant-based, but when they start to look at, you know, what do they eat and who's getting sick, you're going to see it. And I, you know, I just know there's going to be a fallout from a lot of the dietary choices that people are eating right now out of convenience and out of propaganda. So I think, you know, things are always going to go up and down. And there's going to be waves. And so, you know, hopefully your audience, you know, doesn't wait until the shit hits the fan, you know, to clean up.
Well, I love the fact that you bring up the component of immediately, like where you said, hey, where are you getting your protein from? You know, and it's interesting when you said, hey, who asked that question? And why are you asking that question? Where is it coming from? You know, the conditioning, right, that yeah. has been created on such a generational component of where we are and what we choose to do and how we choose to operate. And then having this responsibility, I love the fact that, you know, you're sharing so much of this depth, you know, because I imagine, you know, over the course of the 2.5-3 decades that you've been on this journey, you've discovered some pretty crazy stuff. And it's nice to have that level, or to be in, you know, really reverence with you, to understand that the level of devotion, you know, that goes into believing in something and choosing to operate from that place of sincerity, and then just choosing to express that oneself, even when the external world or external society has conditioned so many of us to think I won't even say alternatively, because I'll say differently, in a way that is actually completely misleading.
Exactly. I mean, look, I think that we're in a level where the information is out there and people are able to make choices and find it. And, you know, the big if is, are they going to wait until it's too late, or are they going to start doing it earlier? And, mm-hmm. you know, like that's the, you know, in the case of my family, it was too late. It was too late. So now, you know, I'm trying to get ahead of the curve, speaking to people where I think no one went to Tony Robbins, Unleash the Power Within, 20,000 people plus, when they're thinking they were going to get educated and unleashed about sprouting.
I think that's the uniqueness, is exactly because Tony is creating such a light, and so many of us are able to now stand on his shoulders. You know, he's really allowing us to share this new knowledge and work together in harmony, so that we really build a collective infrastructure, focus on how we can actually communicate more effectively and change the paradigm in ways that, you know, is like, these are the things that we haven't actually spoken about in school, or communicatively had these communications at this layer of depth, and the things that we're discussing right now. And I believe that that's, you know, what my kids, when I have them, or my nephew, you know, really want to know, is so that they have more energy, more vitality, more curiosity, because then it allows us to really start to build the playground, you know, that I call planet Earth, in a way that is way more responsive to the choices that we passionately want to make, and move from that level of certainty. So thank you for being you, brother, and shining. You know, this is something that I'm excited, you know, to continue, you know, our friendship and conversation. And I'm grateful for you, bro.
Hey, thank you so much. And thanks for your great work, and happy to be part of it. And, you know, let me know if you have questions along the way, but I'm excited for you and your journey. You're doing phenomenal work and taking massive initiative. So I love it.
Thank you, brother. So before we go, I'd love, where can we find more information about the book, about how to get, maybe if somebody wants to get in contact with you, find out more information, what is the best way to connect with you or to reach out and find out more information?
Yeah. So the Sprout book is in English and in Spanish, available wherever books are sold. Right. And my Instagram is just my name, Doug Evans. My TikTok, you type in Doug Evans, you know, you'll find me at the top there. And my company is thesproutingcompany.com, and really created the company to make the products that I want to use, right? So the high quality organic seeds that are tested for pathogens, tested for high germination rate, tested certified glyphosate free, because, you know, you don't want the endocrine disruptors. So all the things that I wanted in products for myself, you know, that's what we put out at the Sprouting Company.
Amazing. And if there's anybody on here that can serve and support you, what would be something that if you needed anything, is there anything that we can do to support you as a community, as listeners, as followers? What would be the best way to serve and support alongside you?
I mean, I think that if people are in the food industry, nutrition industry, chefs, you know, that's a part. I think if people have companies and they want to make the companies healthy, you know, I've been Zooming in and visiting and talking about health and doing, you know, little keynotes like what you saw me do at UPW, you know, to corporate. So I'm doing a lot of public speaking and seminars and workshops. And, you know, one of the things we talked about was doing extended workshops. And, you know, we're a small company, so if people actually have resources, you know, I'm very open, you know, to seeing how we can expand them, you know, to do more.
Amazing, man. Amazing. Actually, it's funny, this morning on our community call, we had a couple different gentlemen speaking, you know, about, you know, different hemp and foods and beef and pork and all these things. So interesting, like it's been like a food day. Everyone was really communicating about a very interesting conversation that I, you know, had the pleasure of holding the space for. And then it's amazing to just watch and observe how meaningful men are doing meaningful things, and women, of course, meaningful men and women doing meaningful things. So thank you, brother. And last question, man, if you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
I'd probably just like literally just spend them with my wife and my daughter, you know, kind of documenting, you know, what they need to do to live happily ever after and how they can take this message and keep moving with it.
Thank you, brother, for your kindness, your candor, your wisdom. Is there anything else that you want to share before we go?
No, I just want to acknowledge you, you know, your work with the, you know, with youth leadership and innovation and supporting CEOs with your work is really important work. And, you know, with your talent, you could be doing anything. And the fact that you're applying it to making the world more inclusive and, you know, great principles, you know, it's, I almost love to be a fly on the wall in some of your work. So thank you for sharing that and putting it out there.
It means a lot to me. Thank you for saying that. Thank you so much, man. It means a lot. It really does.
My pleasure, Eric. Make your move. Let's go.
Yes. 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 I love you, bro, right, man. So good. So good. You're such an amazing fellow, man. Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to The Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure, please make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode and make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does. More importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly,
make sure you take the time to take a look at what we're doing at Balanced Media Ventures and how we can actually really support you in doubling your impact, your income, and your influence, and how you can bring your life's greatest vision into your purpose and create it from that level of reality. Talk to you soon.